Hi, this is Kate Brownfield from ADHD Kids Can Thrive, and today I have a very special guest with me today. His name is Penn King Jr. He's a general partner at Innovating Capital. He's co-founder and CEO of Bonding Health, and he's an ADHDer himself. Thank you, Penn, for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Kate.
I'm really excited about this. You're welcome. So I asked Penn to join me because I think he's a wealth of information because he himself has grown up with ADHD. And then he's also innovating in this space to try to help parents do better for their ADHD kids. So let's dive in. Let's start from the beginning, Penn. How old were you when you were diagnosed with ADHD?
I think it was around 6 years old. So very young.
Okay. Were you a hyper boy? Were you acting out in the classroom?
I was a very hyper boy. I was one of the class clowns, I would say.
Okay. So you stood out?
Had a lot of energy, for sure.
Okay. So was it the teachers who were like, this kid needs help?
At that time, it was, you know, he has ADD. He has so much energy. So that was, it became a challenge very, very early on.
Okay.
In terms of sitting still, I think sitting still was definitely the biggest problem for me. Obviously, it comes out in different ways for other people, but
yep. That sounds very typical for boys with ADHD, right? Yep. It starts with not being able to sit still. Okay, so what did your parents do? What was your experience growing up? Like, how did your parents support you to try to get you through school? Obviously, you graduated from high school.
Yeah, that was a challenge. It was definitely a challenge. I would say that growing up in a very competitive private school environment was difficult. I think, you know, this has changed a lot in the past probably 5 to 10 years, but there was such an emphasis on performance over everything else. And
That's still the case, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know how old you are, Penn, but it's still definitely the culture of education.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, yeah, there's a lot of data that's come out that's kind of like super eye-opening.
Yeah.
So for me, I saw a psychiatrist a few times. I went through different assessments that were fairly intensive, and I was diagnosed with ADHD after going through a few different tests. And when I was diagnosed, I never really saw a therapist. So I think that's the biggest difference now, is that psychologists are more prevalent, but there are obviously still so many psychiatrists. But I remember I think it was around 6 or 7 years old, I saw a psychiatrist, and then I was prescribed medication after an assessment.
Okay. And did that solve all your problems getting through school?
Obviously it didn't. Yeah. I would say that, you know, there are some pretty major side effects that are not really discussed. And then also you have tolerance, right? So when you start taking medication, especially amphetamine medication, which has come out to, you know, there are a lot of problems with that. But in my case, you know, at 6 years old, when you start taking amphetamine medication, within a couple of years, you have gained a pretty strong tolerance, and medication can stop working. So I would say that my social skills just were completely depleted from, you know, being a really energetic, very excited child to being a lot more closed off and fairly irritable at times because I was on so much stimulant medication. So,
okay. And what do you mean by your social skills kind of?
So the problem with a lot of kids who have ADHD who are on stimulant medication is they don't really, their excitement and their conversation skills can kind of go out the window because you're kind of on, you're in this kind of like, I want to study mode. When, you know, if you're like during recess, for instance, or other times during the day, I didn't feel like I wanted to be social. And I think that's, you know, that's what I've been a key theme with almost anyone that I talk to. right? It's like you take Adderall when you want to study for 8 hours for finals or something, right?
Right.
That gets challenging in a school environment when you're starting to develop relationships and you're trying to develop relationships because you're not really, your personality kind of shrinks, like what your authentic self is,
right?
Which can be a challenge. It's especially for self-identity, right? And trying to identify who you are, which you're kind of starting to do when you're, you know, getting into your teenage years.
Right. When you're in high school.
So yeah, to say that it was, the process was challenging would be definitely an understatement.
I know. It's a hard time in life being a teenager, let alone ADHD teenager. Okay. Yeah. So was your strat, okay, can I just ask what decade were you a teenager in?
Well, I am 34 now. So okay. I graduated high school in 2006. So
like yes. Late 90s, early 2000s.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So, and during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The world's changed a lot, but a lot of it's been just recently.
Oh, absolutely. And there's
there's a long way to go.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So was the strategy for you growing up as a hyper boy with ADHD?
That was a strategy. There wasn't this, the identity around like emotional health and emotional regulation and executive functioning that really wasn't present.
Did you just kind of wing it? Did you just, you got through, right? Without a tremendous amount of support from.
I definitely had tutors.
Okay.
I had
Your mom or dad, did your mom help you stay like organized and on track?
A bit. I would say that a lot of it was just more structure, implementing more structure.
Who did that? Your mom or?
Yeah, I would say some of it was my mom. Some of it was tutors.
Okay.
But I'd say the support system is obviously really, really important.
Yeah. Between like, yeah, your family and tutors and some medication.
Yep.
That is what got you through, which to be honest, in this day and age, even I think those are kind of some key strategies still that need to be in place to help a kid get through.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So getting through academics, you did a tutor and that was really to provide more structure and help you stay on track. Maybe help out with missing assignments.
Yep.
Reminders for missing assignments. Okay, so let me ask you this, Penn. Now that you're all grown up, is it true that ADHD symptoms and living with ADHD can improve in time as you grow into an adult?
For sure. I mean, I think that the symptoms of ADHD can be superpowers. Like that's for sure. My excitement and overexcitability score is like through the roof. So that like is considered being gifted. If you have, you know, all of these ranges, and I took that test and I was like on the highest spectrum. So that's actually a huge positive. So
test? Like an energy test?
No, it's a psychological test.
Okay.
Yeah. So my co-founder did it with me. And she predicted, she was like, I'm guaranteed that you're going to be highly gifted on this scale, which predicts like if you're, you know, how gifted you are in certain aspects like creativity. And I need to get the test. I'll circle back and send you what that test is. But for so long, right, especially being, you know, kind of this scapegoat and being labeled, right, as an ADHD person, what we found anyway, that ADHD doesn't measure intelligence, but it was interesting to see that because for so long, for almost most, even my most of my adult life, I've always had that chip on my shoulder of thinking I was stupid, of thinking that I was dumb, you know, and that has definitely helped motivate me. But I would say that to get back to your question, these are definitely like major superpowers in terms of like taking control of a room when you talk. Passion, and then even like attention, for instance, like if I'm very focused on something or excited about something, I can spend like crazy amounts of hours just super, super focused.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think you grow into it and those symptoms can become, huge positives.
And you kind of clearly found your path in life that kind of takes what you're good at, right? And you can excel at it. Do you take medication now as an adult?
I do not.
Okay. And when did you stop taking it?
I think I stopped taking medication around like 16.
Oh, you did? Okay. So before you finished high school.
Yeah, I stopped early.
It just said it wasn't for me.
Yeah, yeah. The side effects were pretty intense for me. And I was on such a high dose that I think that's kind of what changed my opinion on medication, is you can kind of get there through other levels of kind of like higher levels of consciousness, whether it's like meditation or it's drinking matcha tea or it's exercising like a maniac.
Right.
Those were kind of my ways of getting through it. I would say that exercise, it was probably like in 2007, 2008, I really got into exercise. Like I started working out ferociously. And I would say that that ended up trickling into like running marathons and getting like super into like these kind of like extreme sports.
Yeah. And
I would say for a child, that's a huge element. And that's not going to, you know, that may not eliminate medication altogether, but it might lower the dosage so it's more sustainable. Because medication is very difficult when it comes to sustainability. It's really hard to sustain.
Yeah.
I think it's positive for a lot of children. But I think that the dosage needs to be proper, and that's should be balanced with other like good habits, right?
Yeah.
Right. Even like diet, for instance, my diet changed dramatically too.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So it sounds like you got the exercise going. You probably started eating better. Did you do any particular diet or did you just eat healthy?
Yeah, I definitely had specific diets. I cut out a lot of carbohydrates, which helped with just having a clearer mind. Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of talk about how the keto diet really does benefit your mental health.
Yeah. So
and there's a lot of science out right now saying.
Yeah, I was definitely doing keto.
Okay.
For sure.
And exercising, and you were drinking matcha tea.
I've been drinking matcha tea. At the time I wasn't, but I definitely drink matcha tea and coffee. Coffee definitely helps me to just get, coffee is definitely like my Adderall.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. To get after it. Okay, yeah. Good. So those are some, you know, you're implementing some good habits.
Yep.
To help you stay. Okay. Do you still struggle with organization?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But and
how I work through that is I use different platforms now. So I use an app called ClickUp. It's really, really nice. And that kind of organized my tasks. I use a product also called, I'm trying to think about what the most relevant personal app is, because this is more of a business app. It's called Slack. I'm sure you're familiar.
Oh yeah. I've heard of Slack. Yeah.
But I use two other apps. That one is called I Am. And the other one is a bit similar to that. And it's just these affirmations. And it's these kind of quotes that come into my phone on my home screen, but they come in like every, like maybe it's like five a day that come in. So it's really, really nice. And they kind of sit there. And yeah, so my home
screen, some like positive motivation.
Screen, yeah, my home screen sit on my home screen here and they change. So it really helps to kind of bring you back into balance.
Yeah. Kind of a meditative.
Yeah. Cause I daydream a fair amount, and funny enough, like daydreaming has been correlated to like additional creativity.
Yeah.
I do daydream. I do procrastinate. So yeah, it's still a big struggle, Kate, for sure.
But you're implementing tools that can help you. It sounds like it's going okay. Okay, yeah. So this has turned you into an ADHD advocate, right? Mm-hmm. You're obviously talking to me and you're building a business now called Bonding Health, right? And what does Bonding Health do?
Yes. Yeah, so we are creating a conversational tool that through an app, through a mobile app that makes you feel like you're talking to a specialist and provide.
Wait, what kind of specialist? Like a therapist?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. And it makes you feel like you're talking to a therapist, and it focuses on the core symptoms that you're dealing with. So essentially there are 13 symptoms that we've identified as the definition of ADHD. So it allows you to walk through a conversation with a therapist where the therapist provides you with suggestions based on those symptoms.
Okay. So is this for people who have ADHD or for a parent who's raising an ADHD kid?
Great question. So it's for a parent who has an ADHD child.
Okay. So if I'm like in that moment where I'm losing my mind because my child's extending himself too far or too much or whatever's going on, I can look up for advice about how I should be talking to my child or ways that I can kind of help work through that conflict.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And based on that symptom too, for instance, talking too much, you press talking too much and it walks you through a conversation around suggestions to dealing with talking, your child talking too much, or fidgeting, for instance, or attention. So the idea is for it to feel kind of like a coaching conversation or a therapy conversation.
Yeah, that's great. So it gives you the words as a parent to use with your child.
Exactly.
That goes beyond just getting frustrated and yelling at them and throwing consequences at them.
It saves the suggestions that you utilize so that it eventually will have that AI capability where it kind of has this pattern recognition of understanding what you're dealing with, what the patterns are typically, and then will help in terms of implementing suggestions that are more personalized.
Yeah, so that's great. So it's going to use the AI platform. So instead, if you don't have access to a therapist or a good therapist,
there you go.
Or you don't have the money or insurance isn't covering it, this is going to be a tool where you can get the support that you need to figure out how to help your child. Will it help your child do their homework?
I wish.
Will it give words on how to talk to inspire your child to do their homework?
Yeah, a bit of it is optimism for sure. I would say a fair amount of it is kind of, is the reframing, right? Is tell me about a time when your child did pay attention, right? So it is kind of, you start after a bit of time and it's pretty quick, you start to see that shift. Even if you don't want that shift, even if you're mad at your kid at the time, you'll start to see a little shift, which has a lot to do with Lara's work. Her book, The Gift of ADHD, kind of some of these other books that try to focus on that reappraisal.
Right. The positive. And is Laura involved in this?
She's my co-founder.
She's your co-founder. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Okay. All right, Penn. So kind of what would be your words of wisdom to share with a parent who's raising an ADHD child? Like, what would you want parents to know who are raising the next generation of ADHD kiddos?
Yeah, I think that having these authentic and honest conversations with your child about, the struggles that may come to them, but telling them and trying to convince them that these can be strengths and these will most likely become strengths. If they hone in on really like identifying who they are. And I think also like not being too hard on your child, because the negative self-talk is already there, even if you're not an ADHD child. But when you're an ADHD child, you loop fairly often. A lot of times you have a lot of this negative self-talk. So I think it's really important to kind of sit your child down and say, hey, listen, you're capable, but don't get too overwhelmed over things, and you kind of have to go back to that fairly often. But I think also, asking them like, where would you like to be? Or where would you like to, if this is an option, like where would you like to go to school? Because I was at a school that was very, very difficult academically, and it was definitely the wrong program for me. For instance, a lot of children with ADHD are very creative. They could go to art school, or they could go to, you know, you're in California, it's even more like way more modern, right? They could go to a Montessori school, or they could go to a, you know, a certain school. Obviously, depending on resources, this may not be possible. But even saying, hey, listen, like, these can, what you have right now can be a gift. You may get challenged in this environment, this like kind of more structured academic environment, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to be successful.
Right.
Don't be hard on yourself for not getting good grades, or don't be hard on yourself for things that, to be totally honest, in the future may not be that important.
Right.
So I would try to have some pep talk. I would have some pep talks.
Yeah. And remind them, I think you're a great example, right? If you can get through school with your self-esteem somewhat intact, and feel like you can have a future that, you know, that it is doable.
Yeah.
And to not get so caught up in the culture of school.
Yeah. I think, you know, really like setting an example for strong wellness. Like my mom was really good about that. My dad, not so much, but my mom, you know, grew up in California, in San Diego. My grandmother was super holistic. My grandfather was a doctor. He was also fairly holistic. That type of education, like whether it's telling your children to, you know, like eat a lot of vegetables, or set aside like 5 minutes a day just to try to like be thankful, or, you know, be happy for their health or some, you know, these kind of wellness practices are obviously are a lot more relevant now. But I think that's something that's so, so important, especially for someone with a lot of energy, because if you harness that energy the right way, there are a lot of benefits. So I'd say that type of education, educating yourself as a parent, but also educating your child on that, is really, really important, especially being in California. Like, I feel like California is kind of the Mecca.
Well, it is. I know, but
and Ayurvedic and, you know,
it is.
And all of this. So
it is, but people, you know, have ADHD all around the world and listen all around the world. But I, you know, so I think if you're living in snowy parts of the world too, you know, put the snowsuit on and go outside. I think that can help your mental health as well. But I do agree on the holistic things. I think personally in my own family, that has been incredibly beneficial, just for my own health as a parent, but also for my children too. It can take you a long way in getting through school and probably getting in life. So thank you for saying that. That's good wisdom, Ben.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Okay, so as we wrap up, do you have anything else that you'd like to share, or thoughts that you've had in reflection about growing up with ADHD or with the project that you're working on going forward?
Yeah. So we have an Instagram account. It's Bonding Health, BONDING Health. And that's the handle. And we provide like certain quicks. So it's kind of like highly distilled phrases that Laura has developed that focus on the methods, the research-backed methods that have been part of her interventions, and they're super, super helpful.
So
some of that is always good if you're scrolling and you kind of want to. We do have nature videos on there, so you can go through a nature video, and it has soothing music, and then it has phrase-based interventions, essentially. So it's kind of like a phrase-based therapy. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of cool. It's exciting to see what's, you know, coming online.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see people like you, you know, focused on, you know, adolescence, because, you know, we are in a youth mental health crisis. And I think
absolutely
kind of all need to come together as a community.